Thank you. Thank you, Coach Daniel and the worship team. So this morning, we've got just one verse that I want us to focus on. We've been in Ephesians for a long time. We're going to stay in Ephesians today, but it's such a big principle that we're going to unpack, that we're going to really just try to dig at it. But what Daniel and the team were trying to usher us into this morning was clearing away the space in our heart so we could really be full of Jesus. And that's what's going to power what we're talking about today. But Bryce, if you could help me out in that very first slide, I've got a picture. So this is a picture of a couple of my family members, and it's just from yesterday. So this is my son Samuel on the left, who was born in 2016. He's 4. And then this is my grandma in Raytown, who was born in 1926, so she is 94. So there are 90 years right between them there on the porch. So, and they were playing a game yesterday. They were having fun. So I want you to imagine that I invited you after church to go with me down to Raytown to my grandmother's house. I bet just the fact that she's 94, I bet you all would be kind of on your best behavior, just like instantly, right? Like, I don't know how you normally talk, and maybe you have a hard time controlling how you talk, but I bet at the very least you would apologize for the way that you talk, if not talk a little better around my grandmother, right? You probably change some of your actions just to accommodate her, right? Because we don't normally, in just our day-to-day life, run into somebody's grandma and think of them that way, or run into somebody that's 94. And so even our culture that's really not very good at respecting elders, we still have a little bit of that in us, right? They're like, oh, I should act respectful. I should be accommodating. I should help this person out. So that's just a little bit that we have of what you might call respect or even reverence for the elderly, right? But for most of us, if you lived right next to my grandma, or if you had to be around her every single day, if she was at work when you're around your boss who's treating you wrong, like, it would wear off pretty fast, right? Just because Grandma Taylor is around doesn't mean you're going to be on your best behavior for more than 15 minutes, probably, right? When stuff starts to get hard, you're probably going to revert back to your regular ways, right? And it's because in our hearts, that desire to respect somebody because they're 94 is not nearly as great as our desire just to do all the other things we normally want to do. And so we can kind of be on our best behavior for 5 or 10 minutes, just like we can hold our breath underwater for a few minutes. You know, like we can act different for a little bit, but at the end of the day, there's not enough in us to power change, right? Can't change who we are just out of respect for somebody else. Well, I want us to look at this verse today that I've been talking about. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It's a very short sentence. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this verse says, submit, and we'll break that word down here in just a minute, but it says to one another. This verse is talking about us as Maywood Baptist Church, us as Christians, we should submit to each other. And it says why? Out of reverence for Christ. So it doesn't say that I should submit to Chris because Chris's ideas are always best, or that I should submit to Tracy because she's better than me in every way or something. It doesn't say submit just when the person's smarter or cleverer or older or has more money or whatever. It says submit to them out of reverence for Christ. So whereas all of us naturally have a little bit of reverence probably for somebody like my grandma, this is talking about changing all of our interactions with other Christians based on reverence. So that's a really powerful request there. And the best example I can think of this that I've seen is, I remember Josh Monk being really angry at somebody and refusing to punch that person, not out of any other reason other than like I won't do that to Jesus. Like I won't make Jesus look bad by acting like a fool in this moment. And it was out of a total just Jesus is my boss and I'm following him, so I have to make him look good. It was like he had submitted his actions to that. But for most of us, if we followed you around with a camera, April and Randy have been getting followed around with a camera as they're doing this project. But if we followed you guys around with a camera all the time, I bet for most of us, a lot of the way we treat each other isn't dictated or dominated by this idea of reverence for Jesus, right? So in order to have that reverence for Jesus and to submit to one another, we have to first realize what the book of Ephesians has been telling us about each other. And that's that what we are here at Maywood, we're not a social club, we're not a political club, we're not even a group of friends at our basic level. What God has called us to be is to be Jesus' body together. So friendships should come out of that, right? Other things should come out of it, but at its most foundational level, we are called to be Jesus' hands and feet and ears and eyes and all of that. And so just like a human body has a bunch of parts that are not the same, that don't have the same function, probably wouldn't all be Facebook friends or whatever, you know, like just because they're not all the same, that actually is why they're brought together to be part of a body, right? And because a body all submits to a person's brain, it's able to do awesome things in service of that brain. We are called to submit to Jesus and to respect each other. So we're called to respect each other because we're supposed to see that when I look out and I see Nick, I'm supposed to see that like Nick is literally a piece of Jesus. Because Jesus has put himself on Nick. That Donnie is a piece of Jesus, right? That Tony is a piece of Jesus. And so I should treat her with the same sort of respect that I would treat Jesus. To even revere Jesus, so I should treat her with a submission attitude, is what this says. Now, that submission attitude is hard for us to grasp. We don't like that word. Nobody in America likes to lose. I mean, we see examples of that all the time. You don't have to look very far to see that. And nobody. It doesn't matter. I mean, we can complain about bad losers, but then just wait till your side is the losers, and then just people have a hard time losing anything, right, in our culture. And submission gets to this idea of yielding to somebody else. And we normally think of yielding to a greater force, but that's not always the case. But I've got this picture here, Bryce, if you put it up there, just that simple, Bryce is not there. So there's this simple, we've all seen yield signs, we don't necessarily need it. If you're on a road and driving, you come up to a yield, we all know what that means, there you go. We all know what that means. It means you're supposed to slow down. You're supposed to look around a little bit before you just fly through that. Now, some of us think stop signs mean yield and yield signs mean nothing, right? Yield signs mean this is not a stop sign. That's how some of us take it. But the reality is, just like if you're on Winter Road over here, that's a close yield sign where like Chrysler and Winter kind of come together in this weird way. When you have that yield, you really can't see because of the trees and everything else. You cannot see what's coming that way. So if you just fly through there while someone else is coming, obviously you're going to have a wreck, right? And you might fly through there because you want to get somewhere fast, but if you have a wreck, you're not getting anywhere fast, right? I mean, like you've made a big mess for yourself and somebody else, and you've totally messed up your day, right? So trying to save 3 seconds is not worth a real wreck, right? But most of us think we're smart enough, we're clever enough, it's fall, we've seen through some of the tree, we could just like speed through, right? I would propose to you today just a real practical, let's treat each other different, is when you're dealing with other Christians, you should pretend as if there's a yield sign for your mouth and for your actions with everything to do with them. So you need to watch what else is happening, and you need to slow down when you are around another Christian. So if they have the right of way, basically. So how does this play out in your conversations with people? Myself included, we have these conversations with people where it's about what we're going to say next or what they need to learn from us, right? Or about saying the last thing. So if you have this yield idea, this submit idea, to use Paul's language, when you talk to somebody else, what if you came with this idea of what's actually going on with this other person? I'm going to try to understand. Submission would even have this humble attitude of Jesus is in that other person. So what can I learn from this other person? You would be a totally different person, I would guess. I would be. If I approached every single conversation with another Christian this week with the idea of what can I learn from this person? Not what do they need from me, but how could I grow by seeing Jesus in them? But right, you're going to have to slow down to be that way, right? What if you ended conversations with, instead of trying to make sure they understood you or make sure that they think you're great, what if you ended with trying to verbalize back to them what you learned from them? If you're looking for a challenge, and if your focus on the sermon is running out, here's a good challenge for you. Just write this down. This week, try to end your conversations with other Christians by telling them what you learned from them or how you saw Jesus in them. It's a whole different way to get the last word. And when you say that, it means the whole time you're talking to them, you're going to have to be thinking about, where do I see Jesus in them? What am I learning from them? Instead of thinking about your next great idea, you're looking for Jesus in them. The reason a lot of us have so much trouble with submission, whether it's in our words or in our actions, is because we think we have something to lose, right? We think, if I don't take everything that I need, if I don't take care of myself, if I don't do all these things, then things are going to fall apart. If I don't correct everyone else, then we'll never get anywhere as a team. Or if I don't make sure everybody else respects me and sees how great I am, then no one's going to love me. Or whatever it is that you're worried about, at your core, we have such a struggle with submission because we're afraid of losing something. I want to tell you something that's very important about our whole life here on earth as Christians. What you have that is truly valuable, no one can take it from you. You do not have to protect the most valuable things you've been given. Jesus in John 10, he says, I'm your good shepherd. I literally will die to make sure that what God has given you, that I hold on to you, because you've been given to me by God. Jesus promises, I'm going to hold on to you. No one can snatch you out of my hand. So you may lose your house. You may lose custody of your kids. You may lose a whole bunch of stuff in your life. You will never lose connection with Jesus because of something somebody else did to you. Every single day, you can be right there connected with Jesus, full of him. And I want to tell you that all the other things that you might want to try to control and get, like respect of other people or influence with your family or health or any of this sort of stuff, when you get that I'm safe in Jesus, a lot of this other stuff is actually going to grow out of that. When you stop trying to force and control, and when you're secure in what Jesus has given you, then a lot of healthy stuff can grow. God can bless you in a lot of ways. But a lot of times we struggle to submit to other Christians because we think we have to control a bunch of stuff we don't have to control. There was a bunch of tech issues during worship this morning. You guys probably don't know that, but downstairs and in the youth chapel, I think they know it. And so it was driving me crazy, to be honest. I had to sit down during worship, and then I had to kneel at one point during worship just to try to get focused, because I just wanted to try to somehow fix it, which is silly, because like I don't even know what's broke, right? And there's smarter people at this stuff than me, like literally right back there working on it. But it's so hard not to try to fix everything, right? But what would I have done if I'd ran back there and tried to talk to Bryce about something? I would have wasted Bryce's time, to be honest. And then I wouldn't have gotten to worship and to connect with Jesus. What happens with all the stuff you're trying to control? Maybe Jesus is more wanting some sort of connection with you. Because I bet if you went this week and you submitted to other Christians and you didn't correct a lot of people, but you let other people kind of, your first thought, just like a yield sign, it doesn't mean you never go, but your first thought is to let the other person, your first thought is, I bet they know better than me. Your first thought is, Jesus is in them, so I should listen. That was your first thought. Doesn't mean you'll never disagree, but if that was your starting point, I bet this week you would receive a lot more about Jesus. You would be a better person, right? I think along the way, as you start really listening to other people, you'll find that people start to actually listen to you. They start to trust you. Suddenly, people start to want your opinion, and people do start to change around you, and God starts to move. I mean, a lot of this stuff winds up working out. The stuff we try to grab for ourselves, Jesus is often happy to give it to us when we've left it at his feet, right? A lot of the times the way it works, okay? So we have that yield sign. The next picture I want to show you guys is just this picture of like some carpentry stuff happening. So the submission idea, if you've listened to any of my stuff on this, you think like, okay, Jake, I want to start trying to learn from other Christians. I want to stop trying to push my ways. I want to start trying to see Jesus in other people. The reality is, it's going to work really well until you run into somebody that you just think is not very smart or wrong, or they insulted you or whatever, and it won't take long. And the reality is, you might actually run into someone who is wrong, right? I mean, it's Maywood, we're wrong about a lot of stuff, you know, myself included, you know? So you may run into someone that's wrong, and you're going to feel all this like, I have to hit them over the head with something about this or that. Right? Maybe you'll pray about it and God will tell you. On occasion, God does want us to go to a brother or sister and say, you're wrong. But that needs to be face-to-face. It needs to be on the phone, right? But that does happen sometimes. But how would you be different if you were actually right and you chose not to hit somebody over the head with how they're wrong? Because like maybe when Jesus looks down on that scenario and he sees me and the person I'm talking to, maybe I am right about the fastest way to get to that restaurant. Or maybe I am right about whatever other little detail. But maybe the big opportunity to grow is for me to have the humility to just show respect to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, right? Every time we're interacting with people, there's chances for us to grow like Jesus. So here's the reality though. It'll be hard to do it. And as much as I could give you tips on how to be kind to each other, we probably got plenty of those already. The real thing we need is the heart that can actually get there. The heart that says, like, I have so much goodness in me that I'm not scared to get somebody, I'm not scared to have somebody take some of that goodness from me. I'm not scared to have somebody hurt me a little bit because I'm so strong in Jesus. So if we're always scared of being hurt, like we can't really love the right way. So I put that little picture of like some random carpentry stuff up there because there was a time in my life where I got to build, 10 or 12 chairs by hand and a couple tables and some shelves. And it's the most carpentry I've ever done, and it's not a lot, but working with wood in my hands, it was like, it's a slow thing if you're using hand tools, trying to build furniture, and it's very peaceful, but it's very slow. Like, you don't get a lot done quickly. And what I realized is like Jesus, who created everything in the whole universe, like just by speaking it into existence, Jesus chose to come and be the son of a carpenter here on earth, which means for the first 30 years or so of his life, he probably did a lot of carpentry or even just assisting a carpenter. It's interesting to me to just dwell on how much patience the creator of the universe has to build things by hand with ancient tools out of wood for years. But think about how many people were doing wrong things 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is making furniture for years. And I can get all riled up about, like, I gotta fix this thing that's broke right now. But when I stop and really pay attention to how much patience Jesus has, it just makes me think I just need to not talk. It's kind of when you're around someone that's just way smarter than you. I don't know if you guys know Bill Burdick. He's living in Israel, but he's a Maywood guy. And Bill knows so much about computers that, like, when I talk to him about technology stuff, my go-to is to just listen. Because I really don't know. He just knows so much more than me. When we really start to just think about some piece of Jesus, it starts to just hit us with awe, right? Which is actually a good thing. When you're going to that conversation and trying to be a good listener, it's good if at some point that day you've been in awe of Jesus. Because it doesn't say submit to your brothers or sisters in Jesus because it'll help other people become Christians. It doesn't say submit to them because it'll help Maywood function better. It doesn't say submit to them because it'll make us all have happy lives. It says we submit to him because we're in awe of Jesus. And the reality is Jesus has touched that other person's life too. And if he could create the whole world with just speaking it, but then spend years building things out of wood, like, I just want to pay attention to what he's doing. Like, I don't fully understand it. So it gives me a different way of talking to Shane if I'm aware that, like, Shane has Jesus' spirit inside of him, that same spirit who did all these other things. Now, whether you're into carpentry or not, this week, every day, you need to find a way to really think about Jesus. Read a little bit from one of the Gospels, and then think about it. What would that have really been like? What does that really show me about Jesus? And you'll see Jesus will make you be in awe. If you look at him and think about him, you'll start to realize, like, wow. So it's time to close out our service. We're going to close it out a little differently. If you're in the fellowship hall, Gabby's actually going to close it out. If you're in the youth chapel, Eddie's going to close it out. So you guys can actually turn us off if you're in those other areas. And your leaders are going to close you out. If you're in this room or if you're on Facebook, here's what I want to close us out today. Is I want you to think about, I want you to close your eyes and think about, try to picture in your mind something about Jesus that makes you just be in awe of him. And if you're new to church, let me give you a head start. Something I just read today in Genesis 16. Somebody that was having a super hard life. She was in tons of trouble. And she had an experience with God, and she said, God sees me. And if you're here today and you're just getting started and you've had a hard time, when you think about that, God sees you. It's the final thing we're going to do. Now I want you to open your eyes. We're going to pray with eyes open right now, but we're going to look at each other, so that's kind of weird, maybe, but we don't do that a lot, like stare at each other. But I want you just kind of scanning the room, and whatever awe-inspiring thing you saw in Jesus, now I want you to look. I mean, you can kind of turn around if you need to. Look at faces in this room and realize behind those masks, there's a person who, that same Jesus is inside of that person. That awe-inspiring Jesus is in there. I want us to actually pay attention to each other for a minute. I will close us out with a prayer in just a second, but look at people, okay? Don't lose these thoughts this week. Jesus is worth being reverent to. But have a yield sign whenever you talk to another Christian. Of like, wait, have you seen Jesus in them yet? Because if you haven't seen Jesus in them yet, just wait for that before you say very much or you do very much. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving knuckleheads like us. We are a mess without you, Jesus, myself included. But Jesus, I thank you, you have given us the gift of righteousness so we can have a relationship with you. Help us to see you in each other. It's in your name we pray. Amen.